Well, good morning. Thank you for each one that has made the effort to come out this morning. Not very appealing, is it? Dirty cup of water. A few years ago, I owned a small campground, and it had been sitting there. It was a bit derelict. We kind of bought it and tried to fix it up, and we operated it for a few years. But one thing that I was required as an owner, because I provided water for other people, not necessarily in your home, but if you provide water for other people, I had to take this course, and I had to learn how to get my water clean. And so what we would do is we would, I took the course and passed it, and we would have to, what we call, shock the well. Because the well was dormant for the winter, bacteria would grow in the lines, and it would be undrinkable. And so what we would have to do is we would get bleach, and we'd pour it down the well, and then we'd flush the system, and then eventually take a sample and see if that bleach had killed all the bacteria so that we were able to provide water for our tenants. In Charlottetown, I can remember in the last few years, there was a couple of large building sites that were never developed. And I came to understand that these pieces of land, which were in prime locations, the soil had been contaminated, and no development, no person wanted to touch it because the government was involved, and to get that soil back to its proper condition would cost an exorbitant amount of money. And eventually those places did get bought, but not without a price. Contamination. The topic this morning, we've been going through our statement of faith, and I'll get Kenzie to put that up there if you could for a minute. It says this: we believe that man was originally created sinless. Tempted by Satan, man fell and thereby brought the whole race under the condemnation of eternal separation from God. We believe that man is saved through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is through grace alone. And then it goes on to say, we're not going to speak too much on this, but we believe that every Christian should be baptized by immersion to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Our statement of faith, what we believe as this local assembly, we take it from this book, the Word of God. Our topic this morning is this: defilement which needs cleansing. Defilement or contamination that needs to be cleaned. Let's go to a couple scripture readings. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 reads this: how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 1 John 1, verse 7. Let's go to 1 John, actually. Let's go to that. You have that? 1 John 1, yeah. 1, verse 7 to 10. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship or partnership with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What's the definition of defilement? Well, this is what it is. It's really uncleanness, contaminated, debauched. You've heard that? I don't know if you've heard that word before, but it's unclean. The definition of cleansing is to purify, to make clean, to remove filth or foul matter of any kind. I want to just go to my outline this morning. Two simple things I want to speak on this morning. First, to the unbeliever, the necessity to be made clean. We're going to deal with the conscience, and that's a tricky thing. And I want to be very clear this morning on how much you can rely on your conscience when in reference to salvation. We're going to talk about that. And then to the believer, the practical need of continual cleansing to maintain fellowship with God does not affect your eternal state, but does affect your Christian walk. There's our simple outline this morning. Do you understand the absolute necessity to be made clean? You put that cup up there again, Kenzie, that first picture. Do you understand this morning the absolute necessity for you to be made clean? And secondly, have you been made aware that you are unclean? You see, a person has to realize they're lost before they can be saved. Just as I shocked the well in order to make the water clean, there has to be something from outside of yourself. Something has to happen outside of yourself to be made clean. You cannot clean up yourself. There's many examples in the Old Testament, and we've sang about them, of getting clean. And we understand from Scripture that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you've never understood this idea of becoming clean, then you'll never enter God's heaven. Can you put that first slide up there, Kenzie, the cup, the dirty cup, please? That's a picture of you here this morning. Look at that cup. Look at it intensely. That water is contaminated. You, in your sins, are contaminated, and God is perfectly holy. Your personal sins on your account typifies that cup. Dirty water. Would you drink that water? Would you give it to someone else? It's contaminated. Some would think of it this way. I'll do more good and less evil. Do you think that way? To please God. In reference to pleasing God, this is a gospel message. We're going to try to explain to you what it means to get that cup of water, which typifies your heart if you're not saved, to get it clean. Some would say, I'll do more good and less evil, and I'll kind of tip the scales. I'll get better with no external thing happening. Is it possible that someone in our audience has convinced himself of that cleaning up their act or allowing their moral compass direct them? See, here's the problem. Your moral compass is different than someone else's moral compass. You may allow certain things to happen that are sinful in your life, and the next buddy down the road says, well, you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm pretty good. I don't do this and I do this, but I can do this. See, the problem with the conscience, if you're a dirty cup of water, is it's dead. There has been no external influence on the dirt and the sin in your life. Do you understand that? You can't clean up from within because it's contaminated. Your heart is contaminated. Your life is contaminated. Everything about you is full of sin. Let's go up that verse about repentance. We're going to talk a little bit about what is it going to take for you to understand on how to get clean. Here's the verse. It's in Acts. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is repentance? See, there's a part in it that you do have to play. And that's really, repentance is just admitting, understanding that the dirty cup of water is going to remain dirty unless something else from the external happens. And the second part of that verse is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in the fact that he existed, faith in his work, faith in what he was going to accomplish, faith in his rescue mission, faith in his death for your sins. Repentance is turning away from the dirty cup and putting your trust in Jesus Christ as a substitute, as an external thing coming from the outside and saving your soul. You just have to turn to him and put your faith in what he has done in reference to your dirty cup. Have you ever done that? I challenge you this morning. You see, the problem is, if you've never been lost, you'll never be saved. If you never realize that you're dirty before a holy God. See, God is a clean cup, never sinned, and he will not accept that dirty cup. It's unacceptable to him. He is pure. He is 100% perfect. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 18 gives a very clear description. We're not going to go there this morning, but Paul the apostle describes to his audience what man is. And if you go there, if you were to read it all, it's deplorable. Against God, no good. That is you this morning without repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a great many good living people that have a corrupt conscience. But they feel that they can appease God by just clean living. There's actually people in the world that we rub shoulders with that may even look better than us, those of us that profess salvation. But they're not saved. That is why it is absolutely necessary for the external thing called the gospel to reach you. Our Bible says, if any man be in Christ, meaning repented and put their faith in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Have you been made new? Have you been made new? Have you ever come to a place in your life when you physically were bothered by your sin, it weighed on you, and you understood that you were a dirty cup, full, corrupt, in need of God's salvation? I implore you this morning, I can't create an anxious thought in you, but if you cannot go back to a time in your life when you understood that you needed a clean slate, you need to become new. You see, when we get saved, we receive a new conscience. We're made new. Everything is new. It's by the power of the gospel. That's why we're faithful from this place to preach the gospel, the good news. It is absolutely good news. The unclean thing that you are can be made clean by Jesus Christ and his substitute when he made payment for your sin. Let me ask you a question. Do you continually, habitually sin? Do you continually, habitually, as a habit, sin? Quite a question. I'd have to ask myself that. Listen to the verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, the habitual habit of sinning constantly, is gone. It doesn't mean we are sinless. It means we sin less. There's a big difference. And we're going to talk about the Christian's walk and relationship to God and sin. Hebrews 9, verse 26 says this, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "but now, once in the end of the ages, has he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." He put away your sin and mine by the sacrifice of himself. He shed his blood. When we talk about the blood of Christ, I want to be clear on this. It's the death that we're speaking of. It's the life that he offers. It's the life that he offers that you need. Are you seen by him with a clean cup? Have you been changed? Can you go back to an experience in your life when you understood that you were dirty? And there was nothing, absolutely nothing, that you could do about it. It was on your account. And then the external, glorious gospel came to you. You heard it through a message maybe from the platform or maybe a friend. The gospel came to you externally. Nothing inside of you could ever get to heaven. You're debauched. You're contaminated. You're unacceptable. God will not receive you. And the glorious gospel came and it shed light on who you are. And you started to see that Jesus Christ was a substitute for you. He made a payment so that you could be clean and be received into heaven someday. I challenge you this morning. Take a look at your life. If you're continually, habitually sinning, if you have no conscience of sin, if there's no evidence that that external gospel changed you, because it does change you, absolutely changes you. You're going this way, and now you're going this way. Then I would implore you this morning to think about the sin that is on your account. Think about it. These are life and death questions. Eternal damnation on this side. Dirty cup, unacceptable to God. You will never enter heaven with your sin. Heaven on this side. There's a line down the middle. You might be close to the line. But being close to the line isn't enough. Having a good conscience and doing good to your fellow, to your neighbor, isn't enough. Because your efforts are contaminated by sin, and they need to be clean. It's a very simple illustration, but just think about it. If your sin is on your account, you cannot go to heaven. Maybe you think that that's no big deal. I want to tell you, it's the biggest deal. It is the absolute biggest deal that you could ever think about. Separation from God, eternal fire. You know, people don't want to hear about that. But that's the reality. God is holy, you're unclean. You need to get to this side. By the external efforts of the gospel, nothing you do. It's just an admittance to who you are. I want to speak to the Christians here just for the last few minutes. I want to speak to you that have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know you're on your way to heaven. No doubt. You can go back to an experience in your life experience when you put your faith and trust in Him and you're on your way to heaven. What is God's expectation for your life? What is God's expectation for your life? To be unclean? I wonder, and I'm not going to be dogmatic in this, but I wonder, I'm going to suggest that possibly your struggles in your Christian life are due potentially to unconfessed sin. Let me ask you another question. How often do you confess your sin? You see, we have what we call a nature, an old nature that we're still struggling with until we get to that place, heaven, and we'll have a new body. But right now, we're still struggling with that nature. It doesn't affect our standing before God, but it affects our relationship with God. When's the last time you got on your knees before God at the end of the day and confessed your sin? You see, I'm married for 25 years, and I have a relationship. But you know what I have to do? I have to maintain that relationship. And it's very similar in our relationship with God. We have to maintain it, but we cannot maintain our relationship with God with things that are in the way. I would suggest to you, how often do you need to confess your sins? As often as you sin. How often do you need to confess your sins? As often as you sin. If you're struggling in your Christian life, is it because you have a strained relationship? Maybe it's pride. Maybe you think you're pretty good, even as a Christian. We go through a vast amount of things that are sinful. And Christian, you know the things that are sinful in your life. Have you confessed them? Another thing I want to suggest to you this morning, if you are struggling in your Christian life, are you reading God's Word? Are you reading God's Word? You will not maintain a relationship with God independent of His Word. That's how He speaks to us, through His Word. The Bible calls it by the washing of the Word. It cleans us. It convicts us. It straightens us out. It tells us what we ought to do. It's commandments. You want to please God? What's God's measure of success for you? What is God's measure of success? How does He measure success in the Christian life? worship, love, obedience. Those are a few. When you got saved, he became your master. He became your master. He owns you. You've been bought with a price. And it was the price of God's Son. It was his death. It was the punishment for your sin was laid on him. You've been bought out of a slave market. You know what? There is bondage. If you are a dirty cup, there's bondage in that. You think you have freedom? You have no freedom. You're a slave to the dirty cup. You're a slave to it. That is what you are if you're in bondage, if you're not saved. You're a slave to sin. You can't change it, and you're in a cycle of bondage. When I got saved, I could remember very clearly coming down a set of stairs, and I know this is just a physical thing, but I felt a load off my shoulders. I had been made clean. That's what you want to be. You want to be clean so that you can be used of God. I speak to myself, every time you sin, confess it. Confess sin when you're even unaware of it. You know what, God? I might have messed up here. I'm not even sure, but I confess it before you. I want to serve you. I want to be pure and clean. God will not use you if you're dirty. Confess your sin. Get in his word. I challenge you to do these things. Let's turn to our final reading to Romans chapter 12. It's Paul the Apostle speaking. And he says this, verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just the reasonable. It's a reasonable thing to do. Are you doing that? Are you presenting your life as a sacrifice, or is your business your sacrifice? I struggle with that. For many years, I was a slave to my job. I worked many hours, almost at the price of my marriage, I'll be honest with you, as a Christian. And I'm slowly learning that service for God is not about material things. Service for God is sacrificial. I got to come in clean. I can't come in dirty. But it's sacrificial. That really just means your will, God. What do you want me to do today? Please bring someone into my life today on the site that I can be a witness for you. I speak to my own shame. God, Paul's saying here, that's just a reasonable thing to do in light of what he has done for you. All kinds of excuses we can have. Most of them aren't legitimate. How long is your eternal cleanness good for? I'm not talking about your relationship now. I'm talking about your home in heaven as secure. How long is it good for? It's good forever. You're seen through the eyes of the sacrifice of Calvary if you're saved here this morning. If you're not, You're seen as the dirty cup. See, God is holy, 100% pure. That's what you need to be like. You need to be made new. I trust I've been clear. The gospel is great news. But we got to give the bad news before we can get the good news. You're dirty, you need to be clean. You want to end up like a clean cup. You want to be clean. Without it, you'll not see God. You'll only face Him as your judge. And you know what He'll say to you in that coming day if you've never experienced the gospel? He'll say, "Depart from me. I never knew you. You never took advantage of what I presented to you in my Son. You never repented. You never trusted that as a satisfaction to get you to heaven. Depart from me." I trust that's not the case for you this morning. If you have any anxious thoughts about your soul, that's not me. I couldn't create an anxious thought in anyone. That's God working in you. Don't put it off. There's no guarantees for tomorrow. Put your faith and trust in the only one that is clean, the only one that was ever able to save you. The only person that walked on planet Earth that never sinned, that was pure. It says that He was undefiled, separate from sinners. He loved sinners, but He was separate from what they did. He never sinned. That's why He's able to save you, even this morning. Trust Him. He is absolutely trustworthy. Can I hear from the Christian? He is absolutely trustworthy. Is He? He absolutely is. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your Son, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. He cleaned up our act. The gospel cleans us up and makes us presentable. And Father, if those of us here that are Christian this morning, if there's sin in our lives, help us. You know them. Help us to admit to them, forsake them, so that we can be used in service for You. Father, we thank Thee for each one that is here this morning. Bless Your word to the hearts of each one here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.